Heavenly Father, our hope and our confidence is in you alone today. We've gathered here to hear from you. So won't you just open up those deep parts of us to receive the word that you have for us and help us to be obedient with your promptings. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Please have a seat. Thank you so much, Belle. Wonderful. A very good morning to you, and it's wonderful to be back at White Hill. How good is this? And for you joining online as well, a very warm welcome to you as well. As I look out, I can see some familiar faces, which is always nice, and a lot of new faces as well, which is also fantastic. Do you know, I first met Roger a few years ago in Sydney, and I am delighted that he has seen the light. that he has been obedient to God's prompting to come into the promised land of Queensland. And all the people said, amen. There you go, Roger. Well, thank you, Roger, for the invitation to come and serve here again at White Hill. I know you've been going through a series called We Are the Church. Fantastic series too. And I want to take a look today at how as a church we love God stronger through worship. I'm looking forward to diving into that, but first I want to give you a quick update on our family. The last time we were here, as Belle mentioned, she was pregnant and with our second child. Abigail is now 16 months old and Mikey is now 4. So the family is growing. I still love my role in helping to serve running the Global Leadership Summit across Australia. And Belle and I continue, obviously, to serve in our itinerant ministry across churches all over the country. 2020 has been a momentous year for us because back in March, we became homeowners. I think we've got a photo of that. There we are. This is an only God thing, I have to say. We had dreamed of owning our own home for many years, and I wondered, because I'm a bit of a practical guy, you know, I wondered, how's this ever going to happen? You see, we'd been living by faith, traveling around with our itinerant ministry, and we'd actually sold our unit in Coffs Harbour, and a huge chunk of that money went into paying for Belle's fourth album that we recorded over in Nashville. So we absolutely had a sense that that was God's leading, but you know, our hearts still yearned to have our own place. So after renting for years and slowly but slowly saving up that deposit, it seemed like the housing market was also just going forward and forward and forward. It was like just out of our reach every time that we'd have our deposit together, just wasn't quite there. We were quite discouraged with this. In fact, during meetings with two different bank lenders, they said, no, you actually don't qualify for a loan. Apparently, their home loan calculators don't have a space there for itinerant ministry. Go figure. Go figure. But fast forward 4 years, and what seems impossible for man is possible for God. I wondered this morning, do you have an area in your life that seems impossible? That's the area God wants to move in. We absolutely love our new home, and what made it even more of an amazing God story, the house was only on the market for 1 week. It was the exact price we could afford. There was a huge crowd of people at that open home. It seemed like every man and his dog was trying to buy that property. Ours was one of many offers made, and the seller later messaged us and said, it's a delight for me to sell my home to you because I've been praying for a Christian family to buy my home. How good is that? So, praise God for answered prayer and cue the family happy dance, which was pretty special, but I won't repeat it here this morning for you, okay? Okay? Just a few weeks later, as we prepared to move, coronavirus inconveniently arrived. And suddenly, we had to figure out how to move house with family and friends social distancing. That was our next challenge. A little tip, if you don't want to be bored during lockdown, can I recommend having 1,000 boxes to unpack with the help of a 3-year-old and a nearly 1-year-old. We're still unpacking, as you can tell. Coronavirus has impacted us all in one way or another. All of Belle's gigs were cancelled. My work has been significantly impacted. Many others, though, have lost their jobs altogether. Not to mention the more devastating effects that the virus has had on the economy, on families, and on mental health. And we're all becoming familiar with public health advice, which aims to stop the spread and help us to survive the pandemic. But today I want to offer some recommendations for our spiritual health. To not just survive, but to thrive during the pandemic. I want to ask, how do we as the church actively worship and love God stronger as we journey through this season? You know, many governments have issued simple catchphrases to protect our physical health. And one of the more famous ones is this: stay home, stay safe, save lives. How many of you have heard that? Yeah, that's used across the world. And it got me thinking, what message would God have for us during this season, during this challenging time? See, I believe God wants us to more than survive. I believe he wants us to thrive. And as a church of worshipers, I believe we can experience what Jesus promised, that he came to give us a life that's overflowing. Life to the full. That he would be with us wherever we are, and because of this, we can be more than conquerors in every circumstances, in every circumstance that we face. So today I want to look at how can we thrive during this pandemic. Come with me as I open the Bible for some timeless wisdom that we can apply in our lives in 2020. Do you know that the Bible has many examples of people thriving through times of crisis? And in particular, I want to look at the true and inspiring story of Daniel in the Old Testament. Now, as a young man, Daniel had the world at his feet. He was rich, educated, good-looking. Maybe you can relate to at least one of those. But Daniel's whole life turned upside down when his home in Jerusalem was invaded. And he was taken off as captive to serve a king in a foreign land. His whole life changed overnight. And he had to learn to worship and thrive amidst the unexpected. Let's read from Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Then the king ordered to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. You know, Daniel was one of those guys taken during the invasion. Suddenly, he lost his freedom, his security, his hopes and dreams for the future. And he had to find his feet in a very different world. Are you like me? Does it feel like a very different world now to what it was in January? This sudden feeling of loss and instability may describe how you or one of your loved ones are feeling right now during this pandemic. I want to suggest to you that while the health advice to stay home, stay safe, and save lives may enable us to survive the pandemic, there are three principles that I see in Daniel's life that will enable our spiritual health to thrive at this time. They are: stay connected, stay courageous, save lives. So let's start with the public health advice to stay home. Now, in order to stop the spread of the virus, we've had to live differently, haven't we? Keep our physical distance, reduce our social interactions, avoid the workplace. Some of us say, woohoo. Restrict ourselves to essential travel only. Of course, stock up on loo paper. You know, these are things we've had to do to survive. Staying at home certainly helps reduce the spread of germs. But the problem is, we were not actually made to be alone. We cannot thrive alone. We are built for community. Right back at the beginning of creation, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. So in order to thrive during the pandemic, I want to suggest that we need to stay connected, even while we're spending a considerable amount of time physically apart. And looking at the story of Daniel, we see that there are two important parts to staying connected. First, we need to stay connected to others. And second, we need to stay connected to God. Both were essential for Daniel to thrive in Babylon. First, let's take a look at staying connected with others. One of the first tests that Daniel faced when surrounded by unfamiliar circumstances in Babylon was to compromise his convictions and his principles for how God wanted him to live. Now, we read how Daniel had strong convictions about eating food and someone sacrificed to idols. So we read in Daniel 1 and verse 8. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission to not defile himself this way. Now, this was a big deal, to try to follow God in a foreign culture. Daniel couldn't do it alone. And he found some fellow countrymen who shared the same convictions he had. And they were able to spur each other on. Together, they persevered. And later we read, the king talked with them. And he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they entered the king's service. Get this. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. How good is that? If we as the church want to live lives of worship, we need each other. Daniel was intentional about surrounding himself with people who he could encourage and who encouraged him to pursue God wholeheartedly. Together with his close friends, he was able to withstand the temptation to forget God and think only of himself. Like Daniel, we need to be connected to other people who help us think beyond ourselves, to maintain an eternal perspective and remember that there is a bigger plan for our lives than simply being comfortable. Church, we need each other now more than ever. This means we have to get creative to stay in contact with people during this crazy time. You know, I've personally been so encouraged that at my home church, we've had our small groups via Zoom for a considerable amount of time over these past months. And it's just wonderful to get around a group of guys who know me, who love me, who can encourage me, and I can do likewise with them. We can do life real, one-on-one and together as a group. I've loved praying over the phone with my friends interstate. Of course, we can't be together, but we make that effort to try to spur one another on. We've sent and received parcels and notes of encouragement. And I've been really inspired by our church and like you've done here, to have a church online, to be able to minister to people in that way as well. I've invited a lot of friends to join in. It's so easy to do through social media. As iron sharpens iron, we cannot do life alone. So let me challenge and encourage you to make the first move. I love here we were just promoting in the announcements the idea of sharing a meal with others. That's such an easy and practical thing that we can do to invite people over and to get to know one another and spur one another on. Let's not give up meeting together, even though we may be physically apart more than we'd like to be. Second, in times of crisis, we need more than ever to stay connected with God. You know, worship is all about our connection with God and living in obedient relationship with Him. Now, we often think of singing when we hear the word worship. But true worship is much more than singing. We read in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In my quiet time this morning, I was looking at that passage in the Message translation. Have a listen to this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention where? On God. On God, on the Lord. We must stay connected with God. The Bible tells us we worship God when we live with an attitude of surrender and when we honor and seek God with our whole lives. And Daniel was a great example of this. Daniel worshiped God with his whole life, in his work, living with integrity, in his relationships, and with his time, by regularly setting time aside to connect with God and put Him first. Now, I brought in a little prop today. This is a power cord. But how many of you know it's pretty useless unless it's connected in to the power source? It's designed to carry electricity. But we need to plug it in. And just like with our relationship with God, we cannot harness His power unless we're connected to Him. Prayer is our connection to God, the source of the power in our lives. And we see this is the highest priority in Daniel's life. Let's have a look. Daniel 6 and verse 10. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. Staying connected to God through prayer was Daniel's lifeline. It meant in the long run, he not only survived, but he thrived through every challenge that came his way. Daniel thrived because he was fervent in prayer. And for us to truly thrive during this pandemic, we also need to be connected to God. I wonder, how can you prioritize spending time with God in this season? Now, depending on your stage of life, you may need to get creative on this one too. I know in our family, we've got young children, it's a little bit of a madhouse at times. And Belle noticed a few months back that she was missing out on her quiet time. It just wasn't happening despite her best intention. She realized that Abby would be getting up before sunrise, and what was she going to do with that? Her whole day then is set with a little one clinging to her leg. And so she decided, I'm going to go walking. I'm going to put Abby in the pram. We're going to go walking around the block. And she has found that has been a tremendous source of not just enjoyment, but of power. This sense of being connected to God through prayer as she walks the streets every morning. I can tell you it's been a wonderful thing for our family as well in helping us to thrive and function. So what is it for you? What have you got to do to be connected to God in order to thrive in life? Daniel was fervent in prayer. He was plugged into God. How can we also fervently seek God and plug into the source of our power. Prayer is a conversation, and we need to make space to hear what he's wanting to say to us. It's only through the source of our power that we can truly thrive. This leads me to the second part of that public health message to survive the pandemic. Stay safe. Of course, we all want to be wise to protect ourselves and others from the virus. But while doing that, we have to be careful not to play it safe in our spiritual lives. For our spiritual lives to thrive, we need more. See, I believe as we stay connected to God as our power source, he would encourage us to stay courageous. We worship God, as the passage says, when we're obedient to his promptings. And we choose to follow him regardless of the cost. Of course, the idea of staying safe during the pandemic involves reducing the spread of infection, maintaining social distancing, wearing masks in public, getting tested for COVID when you're feeling unwell. I've got a picture of my four-year-old son, Mikey, and I staying safe. We had our masks on. It was a few weeks ago. Mikey had a bit of a cough. And his kindy has this policy that any child sick whatsoever, you know what's coming, needs a COVID test. Now that sounds really straightforward. But it's not so straightforward with a four-year-old. It seemed like when we went for our test that all of Logan was also having a COVID test. These little facilities are not built for the kind of volume of people that they're needing to put through at times. So yes, the doctor said he and Abby need to get a COVID test. Now when I announced to Mikey that we were going to get a little tickle test in the nose, you know, I was trying to make it sound appealing. Maybe not the best use of phrase, but he saw right through it. He just did a runner. And I was tracking all over the house for him, and I finally found him in the room. When I went in the room, all I could see was him hiding under this chair with two little legs sticking out and a voice that said, "Nobody's in here." So it took Belle and I to grab each leg and drag him out, get him in the car, and I assured him it would be over and done with very quickly. However, of course, all of Logan also wanted to experience the fun of the tickle test in the nose, and we were told it would be a 3-hour wait. Yes, it was an experience that will live long in the memory. We were told we had to stay in isolation and stay safe while we waited for the COVID test results. Now, stay safe is a catchphrase you hear everywhere today. It's even on my mobile phone. It has a stay safe reminder on it. Of course, we have to be wise and follow the health advice. But I think God has more for us. We have to make sure that we don't adopt stay safe as our mode of operation for living. I believe if we want to thrive in this pandemic and live the adventure of truly worshiping God with our whole lives, we need to stay courageous. See, staying safe is a fear-filled posture, and you only need to turn on the news to know what the world's about right now, and it's fear. But staying courageous is a faith-filled posture. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." We see this displayed throughout all of the Bible. David slayed Goliath because he courageously stepped out in faith. Paul was courageous as God led him to evangelize in hostile environments. And I am so glad that Jesus chose to stay courageous and step out in faith. He obeyed God and sacrificed his life on the cross. I'm glad that Jesus didn't have safety front of mind. The story of Daniel shows us that he made the courageous choice to follow God when he was in difficult circumstances. And over time, as he stayed connected to God, he grew to such a position of influence that the king would seek out his wisdom and his advice on important matters. Now, let me tell you, being a king's advisor was risky business. Can you imagine if you said the wrong thing? You risked your life. And Daniel had to make the courageous choice. Was he going to whisper sweet nothings to the king? Or was he going to speak truth? Speak truth to power. He chose to stay courageous. And as a result, he served God's purpose and there was great fruit from his life. And as we choose to worship God with our lives, he is going to prompt us to take courageous steps of faith. I think God wants us to stay courageous in all areas of life, not just a few areas of our life. Now, personally, I felt really challenged by this on the work front this year. Now, as I said before, part of my role is to help grow the impact of the Global Leadership Summit throughout Australia. And as you can imagine, usually we'd be gathering people in events all over the nation with COVID, that's not been possible. So we had to completely rethink the way that we were going to do our events this year. Can I tell you, everything in me wanted to play it safe. Stick with as much of the old model as possible. But I felt God prompting. Don't play it safe. Trust me and step out courageously. And as a team, we discerned that the way forward was not business as usual or to suspend the events for a year, but to rather reimagine them, put them online, engage people in a different way, being true to the mission that God has given us to impact leaders for Christ. And that's what we did. We decided that by moving the conferences online, we would dramatically reduce the price. Again, my knees were wobbling as we made that decision. But our hope was to engage more people than ever before. Well, we recently finished our final event, and I'm delighted to say that we did indeed impact more people than ever before through the change and the courageous decisions that were made by the team. It was our highest attendance in our 15-year history. And I was especially thrilled that right here at White Hill, you got to host your own Global Leadership Summit for the very first time. Something that wouldn't have been possible if we stuck with the old model. I believe you had something over 30-odd people here, 40 or so, which is just tremendous. Growing and being equipped in their leadership. How good is that? It's risky to take steps of faith. It's not safe. But worshiping God requires us to courageously step out and be obedient to his promptings. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Daniel, who stayed courageous and lived full of faith amidst the changing and uncertain times. You know, you can see things as problems, or you can see things as opportunities. It depends on whether you're going to have eyes of fear or eyes of faith. Finally, the last part of the public health message suggests that the ultimate goal of stopping the spread of COVID is to save lives, our own and the lives of those around us. Now, on this, the spiritual message lines up, but in a much more profound way. God is not just interested in saving our physical lives, but also our eternal lives. God has always been in the business of saving lives. He cares for every one of us. True worship is caring for people the way God cares. If we truly care for others, we want to share the gospel. Release people from the chains of sin and death. It's true, we've all sinned, and this breaks our connection with Almighty God. We can't earn His love and acceptance, but the good news is He made a way for us to be in right relationship with Him by sending Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Who in your life needs to know that God loves them and wants to save their life? How can you use this unique season of life to share the good news and the hope that only Jesus gives? We see in Daniel's life, as he lived the life of a worshiper, he stayed connected and he stayed courageous, and it led to people encountering God and lives were saved. After seeing Daniel's faith in action, the king himself was convinced of the reality of who God is. And in Daniel 6, the king said, "He is the living God and He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and He saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." God is wanting us to introduce people to Him. It really is a matter of life and death. The virus has made us all aware of our own mortality. In fact, maybe you're here or you're watching online and you really want to get to know Jesus, this giver of life. I want to give you that opportunity to accept what Jesus did for you by dying on the cross for your sins. I want to take a moment to just pray right now. And let's do this. As I say these words, just simply repeat them in your heart. Wherever you are, just bow with me and let's pray. Lord Jesus, I need You. I'm sorry for living my own way, and now I want to follow You. Please lead me as I get to know You more. Thank You for this gift that I did not earn. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the catch cry of this pandemic has been, we're all in this together. So, I'd like everyone to stand with me now as I close. Just imagine if, like Daniel, we truly desired to worship God by taking steps to connect with others, connect with God, and live courageously. Live full of faith rather than full of fear. And if we partnered with God to save eternal lives, I think we would more than survive. I think we would thrive in this pandemic and beyond because we are the church. Let's pray. God, we lift up our world to You during this pandemic. And we lift up our hearts to You. Teach us to truly worship You with our whole lives. Please help us to be a people of faith, not a people of fear. And help us that come the end of this pandemic to know You more. We don't want to just survive. We want to thrive in Jesus' name. And together the people said, amen.